Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. And my name is what?
Happy New Year.
Oh, Lana. Happy New Year to you, Donna. My name is Lana Noctigal.
I'm Donna Prisgintas.
And here we are. We have got through another whole year, and what a year it has been. This is Community Radio. We get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes, we do. Support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames. Community-owned, community-focused since 1974, open daily, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op. And also, the Donalana Kitchen is supported by Farm to Folk, an Ames-based food cooperative connecting you to local farmers year-round. CSA shares can be enjoyed throughout the holidays, and they do have a lot of local, hormone-free, and organic meats for you to be cooking from now and through the whole rest of the year for the dinner table. Please contact for more information on a la carte buying and CSA shares, farmtofolk.com.
Thanks to our fine supporters there, and thanks to all of you who support this radio station. We get by with help from our members. Members make it happen. Volunteers put together a lot of these, the things that happen here on this radio program. Don and I are both volunteers, but we need like hard cash money. And this
right,
is
we got to pay the electricity bills, you know, we got to pay the rent just like everybody else.
And we bring you radio, community radio, like no other radio 24/7 in Central Iowa.
Our community is so unique, and all the voices that we have on the radio really reflect that. It is a wonderful thing for the Ames and Central Iowa community.
So if you have any thoughts about where to put some of that end-of-the-year cash, and you have not become a member, please go to khoifm.org. Find out about its radio station. Yeah. Push the donate button.
If you got to do some quick nonprofit giving before the very last ticker second of the year, please call KHOI. We will be happy to help you with that.
Yeah, we've got the nonprofit thing down really good here. We do good. So we will use your money well. We do communication, and we do information, and we do entertainment. Lots of things on this radio station. Go to khoifm.org. Memberships start at $55. It's the end of the year. What a year it's been, Donna.
Oh, boy. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of more water under the bridge as we know it.
Good. Oh, and oil in the pipeline? Not yet. I hope not. We shall see. We shall see.
It's a long struggle, and after that struggle, there's many other struggles.
Many other struggles, too. But today in the kitchen, we're going to consider some good things to eat, as usual. We'll consider Brussels sprouts. We'll talk about dancing. I like to talk about dancing. I'm going to have some advice about staying healthy as the weather gets a little nippy.
Yes, how to manage your New Year's Eve celebrations in a healthy manner.
And Donna's got some great ideas for New Year's cheer. She finds out that not all cocktails are created equal. So we'll talk about that later in the show. But to start things out, I'm in the kitchen here with Donna, but I'm also in the kitchen here We couldn't do it without him. With Evan Taylor, our fine engineer, and he always has something to say about food.
Yeah, Evan likes to cook.
We got talking about Brussels sprouts, and it kind of brings
the Brussels sprout season.
Yes, and everybody has an opinion. I had
beyond the usual yuck.
Well, it's a good taste.
Taste. Brussels sprouts are gaining in popularity. I think this is a good thing.
I think it is too, and especially around the holidays, Brussels sprouts show up on tables. I had a fine pizza at a very nice restaurant north of Ames, one of those fine restaurants up there, and it was a pizza that had Brussels sprouts and lardo on it, and it was one of the better pieces I ever had.
It sounds so good. I might have to go give that a try if they're still doing it.
Tell us what lardo is.
Lardo is actually, they take a chunk of pork fat, but it's dry cured. So it's rubbed with salt and spices, and then it's not smoked or anything like bacon. It's hung at a certain temperature for a certain time. And so it's dry, cured, and then it's sliced very, very, very thinly because it's rich.
It is. Whatever it was really good. And I'm finding that if one is going to serve me Brussels sprouts, one could do, instead of just steaming the little devils, you can pan fry them.
Oh, yeah. Pig and Brussels sprouts go really well. I mean, lardo, yes. But bacon.
Bacon is good.
Bacon and Brussels sprouts.
Bacon is good. I've got a little thing to read here from Nigel Slater's cookbook, Tender, Volume 1. He writes about food from his garden, and this is a whole big fat volume about winter vegetables. He has this to say about Brussels sprouts. So Brussels sprouts like to dance around in a lot of rapidly boiling water with very little salt. Too much salt will make them mushy, and serve them up immediately when they're tender. But I am not quite sure that anything will come from slow cooking the Brussels sprouts. A quick flash in the pan with snippets of pancetta, smoky streaky bacon, or shredded salami is a sound idea, as is a squeeze of orange juice.
Lemon also is good.
Mm-hmm. But add a little butter and perhaps some crushed juniper berry.
Oh, nice idea.
Oh, so what are some other ways of other tastes that could go with it? Evan, you have an opinion. You have lots of opinions. You have an opinion.
I'm chock full of them.
Oh, good.
Give us a Brussels sprout opinion.
Well, I like to do my Brussels sprouts roasted, personally. That's my favorite way of doing it. I usually do it on the grill. You can do it in the oven as well, if that's your style. I like to quarter my Brussels sprouts, add some sort of meat. I mean, after Thanksgiving, I used some leftover turkey. But if you have leftover holiday ham or pot roast or whatever, that'll work just as well, I think.
Chop it up fine, shred it on.
Absolutely, yeah. Dice up one of your favorite veggies. Most recently, I did green bell pepper and onion. And then, you put it into a little tin foil pouch. Drizzle a little bit of olive oil, maybe some balsamic or some other dressing. It's really up to your taste. Wrap it up nice and tight. I put mine on the grill for about 30, 45 minutes, flipping halfway. Comes out very tender. All of those flavors meld together quite nicely. It's very delicious.
Are you grilling in this weather?
I am, actually. You got to put on a coat, but it is never too cold to grill. That's what I say.
I'll throw mine in the oven, thank you.
Well, to each their own.
But a good thing to do with Brussels sprouts, yes.
My son did this when I was visiting him recently. He just sautéed them in coconut oil.
Coconut oil.
And I was kind of going, they're really good. Was right.
It's nice to hear that. Yeah. I think coconut oil is supposed to be very good for you.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Somehow that coconut, the taste of coconut is not really my favorite. But perhaps the Brussels sprouts are strong enough.
Yeah, they are. They don't make you immediately think, oh, coconut. No, it came out very well. It was just coconut oil, salt, and pepper. I know.
Good.
It was very good.
Evan, you said something about putting some curry on them?
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely do a curried Brussels sprouts as well.
Oh, yeah, they would curry
well. I
mean,
I think that would be delicious since it's kind of a darker green, you know. I think that pairs very nicely with a curry. Yeah.
Very good.
I think a yellow curry especially would pair very nicely. Have some tamarind juice in there. Adds kind of a nice acidic.
Oh, it's getting really exotic. Yeah, the tamarind would bring that little tang that lemon or orange do. There, you can do almost anything with Brussels sprouts.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier that Brussels sprouts used to evoke the comment, yuck. Well, no, not really. Not really.
They've redeemed themselves in the last few years for some reason.
I don't know why. Let's
expand our thing. You know, fashions come and go, and thank goodness, you know, we're Brussels sprouts are the new kale, I guess.
Very good. Here's a note of some taste pairings with Brussels sprouts, again from Nigel Slater, the English food writer. All of the flavors that flatter other members of the brassica family apply to the sprout.
That's right. So that would be anything that works well with cabbage, broccoli, those kinds of things.
Butter, bacon, cream, juniper, caraway,
oh,
apple.
Yeah, good idea.
Lemon. Pork all work their magic, and we should add chestnuts and almonds, too. Let's just go for it. And here, sprouts, boiled ham, and parsley sauce. A forkful of calm and good taste, if ever there was one.
That sounds like something to start the New Year's with. A calm, good taste.
I like that.
Say those three again. So, what was it? Brussels sprouts, parsley sauce.
And boiled ham. This is from an English cookbook.
Yeah, but it does sound calm. And then, of course, there's Hop and John, which, that's the New Year's Day. What is it, black-eyed peas? You have to eat Hop and John, which is mostly black-eyed peas, for New Year's for prosperity, I believe. That's Southern
Black-eyed
dictate.
Peas and ham in kind of a long cooking stew. Mm-hmm. And, boy, is that good. It is supposed to – I think I read once that it was supposed – the little beans going around was supposed to remind us of bounty and mini coins and all that kind of thing.
I don't know. I'd throw a lot of garlic in. I would say that's your best New Year's Day hangover remedy.
There you go. So Hop and John. Oh, yes. New Year's, it may be cold outside, but gather. Cook some of this good stuff. We have a news item from the Donalana Kitchen News Department. Tick-a-tick, 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 tick-a-tick. That is the ticker tape that we have going here in the corner off of the kitchen table. And we have find things on the out of the ether, and we bring it to you. Here's a thought about an opportunity for a New Year's resolution. We may be rather small individually, but we affect our planet. So let's give a good thought to the planet for the New Year. Grasslands. Grasslands are shrinking. And that's us. We're here in the Midwest
west. Grasslands, this is our prairie heritage here. And nobody knows better than us Iowans how much of that prairie we've lost and how dwindling it is. This is a story that comes from Common Dreams and was published just at the end of November. The headline read, "Goodbye Grasslands, Goodbye Birds, Goodbye Carbon Sink. America's Great Plains are being plowed at an alarming rate." The writer starts by talking about how much people have been talking about deforestation in the Amazon. But, of course, here, right under our nose, in 2014, the American Great Plains actually lost more acreage of grassland than Brazil lost to deforestation. The World Wildlife Fund says that Americans' Great Plains are being plowed under at an alarming rate. Since 2009, an area the size of the state of Kansas, which is 53 million acres, has been converted from grasslands to annual crop planting in basically corn and soy. In 2015, 3.7 million acres were lost. And between 2009 and 2015, the first annual plow print report finds that the average rate of grassland lost was 2%. So with this loss, We're losing a lot of biodiversity. It's being done on a lot of fairly marginal land. We're not talking about the really great cropland that mostly we have in Iowa. The birds and the bees, and, of course, the butterflies. It says in the report, grassland birds as a group have experienced the steepest decline of all of North American birds. Four key grassland bird species, including McCown's longspur, have declined as much as 80% since the 1960s, and loss of habitat grasslands has played a major role. Then, of course, bees and monarch butterflies, we've talked about that all year long, are in decline. According to the report, the plow-up ushered the release of 3.2 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide, which is the equivalent of putting exactly 670 million extra cars on the road today. So, you know, we all want to reduce our fossil fuel consumption, but really, even more importantly, this plowing up of the grasslands that releases, we want to put the carbon back into the soil. The soil is capable of taking some of the carbon out of the air, but the way we're plowing it up is actually contributing to the problem. So as this year will present further yet more profound science behind the concept of climate change, let's all be mindful in any way that we can, not only to reduce fossil fuel consumption, but to try to preserve our native habitats.
Yes, and remember, this all comes back in many ways to the kitchen table. These plow-ups and the destruction of grasslands and the tapping into those aquifers, all that water.
Yeah, well, the sad thing is that
for
most,
food.
Yeah,
well,
no, it's not food.
For food.
It's commodities. So, you know, ethanol, animal feed. It's not like they're making this corn and soybeans that we're actually going to, you know, go out and pick some and boil them up and put them on the table.
High fructose corn syrup.
That's right.
Be aware of what we're eating. Be aware of what our good land is being used for.
Yeah, and support your local farmers. You know, the ones like we had a show with Earl Hafner, Early Morning Harvest. Now, Earl is making – he is a grain grower. So he grows organically, which does help to sequester carbon into the soil. But he grows multiple grains that we actually can eat, you know. The corn that he grows is an edible variety for polenta. He also grows rye and wheat and buckwheat and oats and many, many good things. So support those kinds of farmers if you can.
Remember, the ground is where all of this stuff comes from. Our food comes from the earth. There's no magic to it, even if they put all kinds of chemicals and all kinds of technology into it. We really do need a healthy environment, healthy grasslands.
Yes, we need the soil. Who but Iowans would know? We live on some of the best soil on the planet. Let's all take care of it this year in any way we can, even if it's your garden. Maybe you can do an organic garden, or you can have an organic lawn, or learn more about how to feed the soil in your immediate environment.
Yes, these are all good opportunities for New Year's resolutions. Let's think about the future here. We can make a difference one kitchen table at a time. You're listening to KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. Support this fine station and be a member. Put your money where your ears are. Support local news and entertainment.
Yes, we are all members of this Central Iowa community, and this radio station is a great reflection of that. So it's a wonderful way to support your community and to hear the other people in your community, the voices of your community on this community radio station, KHOI 89.1 FM.
Yes. was the band Race de Marais. It translates roughly to tidal wave. A French-Canadian band. And I played that music because this weekend, besides eating great food in great quantities with great bunches of people, also I went to a Central Hour Barn Dance. And that's a...
And Lana is the caller this week.
I had the great pleasure of sitting... being on the stage with the band and watching a room full of people enjoying themselves. The barn dances happen once a month, and people just come, and we teach them what to do. We have a good time. There's always live music. And barn dancing, and any kind of dancing, is kind of similar to a potluck. We all bring our best to the event. And I found just in my years of calling dances and dancing and being part of this community and watching people dance, I find dancing brings out the best in a lot of us and teaches us things about ourselves that maybe we aren't quite aware of. I've got a poem here by a poet named C.K. Williams. It's called The Dance, and it's about a woman dancing. The Dance by C.K. Williams. A middle-aged woman, quite plain, to be polite about it, and somewhat stout, to be more courteous still, but when she and the rather good-looking, much younger man she's with get up to dance, her forearm descends with such delicate lightness, such restrained but confident ardor athwart his shoulder, drawing him to her with such a firm, compelling warmth, and moving him with effortless grace into the union she's instantly established with the not at all rhythmically solid music in that second-rate cafe, that something in the rest of us, some doubt about ourselves, some sad conjecture seems to be allayed. Nothing that we'd ever thought of as a real lack, nothing not to be admired or be repented for, but something to which we've never adequately given credence, which might have consoling implications about how we misbelieve ourselves and so the world beyond us, which so often disappoints, but which sometimes shows us lovely what we are. Dancing can do that. Moving around, dancing to the music, dancing with our neighbors. It's a fine, fine thing. So, I was going to consider a little bit about the cure for the common cold. There's lots of things that come out of a kitchen that can make us feel better and help us get over those winter ailments that hit us every now and then. I've got a cold remedy that I got from a doctor friend of mine who teaches me a lot about Oriental medicine, Chinese medicine. They come at understanding the body a little differently than Western medicine, but she gives me this thing to do, and it really does help. It looks silly, but it helps. And you probably have a version of it. Make a very strong tea out of garlic, ginger, and lots of lemon. Sip on that copiously while you are sitting comfortably in a chair with your feet in a very large foot bath basin or a pail or something, and get your feet very, very warm with as hot as you can stand it water, but make sure that the water is up over your ankles. Somehow that's where you're...
I'm trying to envision a container large enough to do that. I'm envisioning using the thing we mix the salad in there.
That's it. You could do that. An ice chest might work just fine to keep that warm. But it's important to get that hot water kind of up on your legs. And you're silly sitting there. And you're sitting there with an extra blanket. And your nose is probably running at this time. Stay there as long as you can. Have a friend refresh that hot water. Have a friend refresh your tea or have it close.
Yeah, get some service out of this.
Yes.
Do it in front of the wood stove.
And if you can apply a warm cat, that's even better. But that but that idea of extreme warm, getting your core
sweat
body
it out,
warm,
right.
Core body temperature up, and garlic, ginger, lemon. I think those combinations have been used quite a bit.
I used to have a rule in my household when any of the kids, anybody came home with the snuffles, we'd immediately take a full clove of garlic per person, chop it up into little small enough bits that you could swallow it whole, you know, without, because for me, if I put raw garlic in my mouth and start chomping on it, it's like kind of the yuck revulsion thing. But if I cut it up small enough, put it on a spoon, and then everybody, sick or not, had to take it. This was a preventative measure. Plus, if you eat that much garlic and you're the only one, you will be the outcast of the household. So everybody eats it, and then no one minds it. And that was that's saying, garlic is better than 100 mothers or something like that. It's a really old, it's very good for you.
That seems a stretch, fresh, but the sentiment is good.
Fresh raw garlic, it is.
Oh, fresh raw garlic.
Fresh raw garlic.
Yeah.
Is good. Also, there's the old cayenne pepper treatment. Do you know that one?
No, I don't know the cayenne pepper.
Oh,
what you got?
Oh, it's a wild one. You take a big 8-ounce cup or something, and you put hot water in it and a lot, like a teaspoon of cayenne pepper and a little bit of apple cider vinegar. Mix it up, and you drink it really fast.
I would think
really
one should,
fast.
Yes.
And it goes, there is that moment where you kind of go, and then it just like settles right down. And I don't know, it must be like sweating your innards out. Now, that's only for cayenne pepper.
Oh.
No jalapenos, none of those. Only cayenne because, and this is from that old Jethro Kloss book. What was that? One of the old herbal books that was, we were using it in the 60s, but he's a big proponent of cayenne, and apparently cayenne pepper has a lot of healing qualities. Like, for example, he used to say if you had a cut, you could actually put cayenne pepper on it and it would heal. Now, that's not true for black pepper or any other kinds of peppers, only cayenne. So cayenne, garlic, lemon and ginger. How about a hot toddy?
Oh, being warm. Yes, being warm. Actually, as a child, I even got, if you were going to be put to bed with usually being slathered in Vicks. Vicks was big in my house.
Oh, but, me too.
But getting a little shot of brandy or a little warm bit of brandy.
Whiskey.
And anything to help you sleep. And that stuff is in your kitchen too. There you go.
Well, it's good, especially if you're coughing and you can't. I mean, obviously sleeping is the best part of healing.
Yeah.
And if you can't get to sleep and you need a little help, probably a good idea. In moderation.
That's good. And also, another thing you might find in your kitchen before going to the drugstore, I mean, you can get all kinds of cold remedies in the drugstore. Consider, for a sore throat, gargle with salt. That works fine.
Yeah.
Hot water.
And then follow with a spoon of honey. Or ginger and honey.
That'll do it. That'll do it. There's healthy things that we can do for ourselves when we're feeling down, and a lot of it has to do with slowing down. So do that too.
Sleep. And this is kind of I think part of the healing process is when you take control of it and make your own medicine, you really do feel not so overwhelmed. Oh, there's something I can do about this. I'm going to eat my raw garlic and put my the other thing I love to do, if you have the snuffles in your nose and you're congested, this is not doing your feet, but you heat up a pot of water to the boiling point or less, but anyway, the point is that you then drop a few drops of eucalyptus oil, and then you set it on the table in front of you with a trivet or something under it, and you take a big towel and kind of blanket your head and stick your nose down into that steam and just breathe and breathe. And, you know, when it gets too hot, you lift the towel up a little and let some of the heat out, and then you go back in. And I even do things like, you know, close one nostril and take in the heat as far as I can in that one, and then do the other one. And, you know, you get that heat inside those inflamed sinus cavities as far as you can, and it really does help.
Yes. Let's take control of our colds out there, folks, and share some garlic around. You're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Radio. Go to KHOIFM.org for more information. A thought about snow here. We know it comes eventually, but it always hits us by surprise. It always is a miracle.
Well, it is breathtakingly beautiful. When you get the snow, you wake up in the morning, there it is, and the sun is shining on it, and the icicles begin hanging down in the windows. You know, I mean, really.
Starting to talk about Christmas card here.
Really?
Here's a poem I'd like to share with you, a poem by May Sarton, reminding us of the wonder of snow. December Moon by May Sarton. Before going to bed after a fall of snow, I look out on the field, shining there in the moonlight, so calm, untouched, and white. Snow silence fills my head after I leave the window. Hours later, near dawn, when I look down again, the whole landscape has changed. The perfect surface gone crisscross and written on, where wild creatures ranged while the moon rose and shone. Why did my dog not bark? Why did I hear no sound there on the snow-locked ground in the tumultuous dark? How much can come? How much can go when the December moon is bright? What worlds of play will never know, sleeping away the cold winter night after a fall of snow? was The December Moon by May Sarton. Ah. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen.
At the end of the year.
Donna, you had some things to say about cheers for the new year.
Oh, yeah. We're getting ready for the parties. Big party night coming up. Of course, the first thing is to drink responsibly. Everybody has to be reminded. And be sure to have a designated driver if that's an issue. First I'm going to talk about how to make the drinking more, less caloric, because after all, holidays, you know, we get two holidays going here, and then there's more eating and more eating, and then you start to go, okay, New Year's is like the tipping point where all of a sudden the excesses, you start thinking, oh, the New Year's resolutions and da-da-da. So if this midnight you're in a quandary about how to maybe not be quite so debauched, we were going to talk about how to reduce the calorie count in those cocktails. I'd recently read an article about skinny drinks, and there are various packaged libations that purport to be less caloric. But the main issue is, you know, those drinks that are full of sweet things and fruit juices, and the sweeter the drink, the higher the calories, basically, is the issue. So, like, for champagnes and bubblies, look for the brut or extra brut. Those will have less calories. And in the wines, the same thing. The drier the wine, the less calories it's going to be. That doesn't mean that you should drink more. Now, here's what I was reading in this article, too. It also said that, unfortunately, the more you drink, you also tend to eat more. So you may be knocking 45 calories out of a drink, but you could easily turn around and, you know, plow that down in some rich hors d'oeuvres or something like that.
Yeah, dive head first into that cheese ball. Just go right ahead. Oh, dear.
I know. You know, it's okay. After New Year's Day, suddenly everyone becomes very sober, as it were, and makes all kinds of resolutions that, oops, I'm not going to do that again. So while you're throwing in the fat with the hide, as it were, let's talk about eggnog.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a once-a-year sort of thing.
That's right.
There probably isn't any such thing as skinny eggnog.
Well, you can reduce it. So eggnog is basically eggs, sugar, a little nutmeg, of course, some cream or milk, and booze. Or not booze, whatever. I'm not talking about the kind you can buy in the grocery store. Actually, I find that the ones that I buy in the grocery store tend to be a little too sweet, and I do dilute them with a little bit of milk usually, just for my palate. But if you're making your own, and I do advise it because it's very easy and it's very delicious, the simplest way is to plop a few eggs in the blender with some cream and some milk and blitz it and make it sweet to your taste. And then, of course, afterwards, for the children, you don't have to add anything. For the adults, you can add brandy or whiskey or bourbon, or I even saw one with sherry recently, any of those things. And then there's the old tradition of called aged eggnog.
Ooh.
Where you put more booze in it and you sit it in the back of the refrigerator for a week or two. So, like, you could have.
And it turns into buttermilk. No?
No.
Oh, okay.
It turns into aged eggnog.
Oh, my. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And there's some people that actually separate the yolks from the whites and whip the whites till they're fluffy and stir it in. You can do all those kinds of things. Now, if you want to reduce the fat in it, the easiest thing to do is, of course, not make it terribly sweet, but you can take the milk and add some cornstarch to it and heat it and then cool it. So you're actually thickening your milk, instead of adding cream.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That would reduce the calories a lot, and it's a pretty good trick.
Good.
It comes out good, but I urge everyone to try and make it homemade. Just remember, sugar or honey or some kind of sweetener, some kind of dairy, the fatter the better in traditional, raw eggs, or if you don't trust your eggs or you have someone who's terribly sensitive and won't eat raw eggs, you can do the same trick with the cornstarch and cook the eggs a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, you have to cool it down. And then, of course, the final thing is to scratch some fresh nutmeg. It's really easy. I use my fine, my little fine grater, and mm-hmm. I just rub the little nutmeg across the top of it. It's just slightly better than the bought, store-bought ground.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's nice to fuss with.
Yeah.
And nutmeg is such a lovely taste.
Yeah, and it's fresh. It releases all the I mean, I've bought nutmegs, and I keep them in a jar, and you can keep them in the jar whole for years at a time. But once you grate it off, it just is that nice, fine little touch. So here's to the eggnog.
Yum. Looking forward to it. I do like a little eggnog, and usually I go to a party where someone else has made it for me, but I have made it in the past, and it's a good thing.
Really,
it's
really simple. Thing. And children love the non-liquored one.
Yeah, it's just rich and lovely, it's very, very, very seasonal.
It's a tradition.
Yes. Let's think about next year and some ways of improving our mind over the next year and think about resolutions.
Yes, the resolutions, the more virtuous life, which we, at this arbitrary demarcation of the year, because as a matter of fact, you know, celestially, the new year begins with the solstice, which is, I don't know if it's the 21st this year. I mean, it's somewhere around there anyway. It varies a little bit. So the new year literally, celestially begins on the 21st, but of course we have to have our own January 1st. So what are we going to do to be better citizens this year?
Well, I pulled out something out of my file here. There's a organization. That's not really an organization. It's a mode of thought. It's a discipline. It's called permaculture.
Yeah, it's a way of farming and living.
It's a way of farming and living. The three ethics of permaculture are care for the earth, care for people, and fair share, as in share the wealth, because it always comes back to you.
That sounds like a good way to start to think about how to live the next year of our lives.
Yeah, and here are 12 suggestions, 12 principles of permaculture by a man named David Holmgren. And they just kind of give us things to think about. We mentioned the dwindling grasslands and how that really does affect all of us. Yes, it does. We're all on this earth together. So here are some ways to think about our relationship to the earth. Number one, observe and interact. Take time to engage with nature. And then you can design solutions that might actually work in our particular situation. Number two, catch and store energy. We're coming up with many different ways to do that.
Oh, we're doing very well in Iowa with wind and now a little more solar.
Let's find some really good ways to do that. In the coming year, we can work on that. Obtain a yield. You can't work on an empty stomach, so ensure that you're getting your fair share. Charge a good price at the farmer's market. It's all right to make a profit. Get a yield from your garden. Apply self-regulation and accept feedback.
Oh, that's always a good one. Self-regulation.
Mm. Yeah.
And accept feedback, and that's all in one principle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Negative feedback is awful slow to emerge, so listen to when people talk to you. Number five, use and value renewable resources and services. Learn to recycle. We can do that. And here, produce no waste. Waste not, want not.
Well, that's a continuum. We can always produce less waste. That is for sure.
And in a lot of situations, the waste for some becomes the resource for another. So let's learn how to close up some of those cycles. Design from patterns and details, from patterns to details. Look at patterns, how they happen around. You can learn a lot by looking at how nature grows, how a forest grows.
Oh, biomimicry. There we go.
Yes. Integrate rather than segregate. That works for all kinds of species, including our own. Let's work together.
Diversity is one of our strengths, I think, in terms of everything in nature, not just people.
We can work together to support each other. Number 9, use small and slow solutions. We talked in this past year with Carolyn Raffenberger about the precautionary principle. Go slow, think well, use small solutions.
Yes, and do no harm is the precautionary principle.
Use and value diversity. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't just grow sweet potatoes. The sweet potato bug may come and you may not get anything. Grow a lot of different things.
And do a lot of different things. A lot of different kinds of people.
Yes. Use edges and value the marginal. There's a principle in permaculture that highlights the fact that a lot of good growing happens when two different kinds of environments come together, the edge of the forest or where the sea meets the land. Lots of dynamic
stuff goes on there. Oh, you know that thing where the sea meets the land or where different – the edges, that in Celtic lore is always at the boundaries is where all the magic is.
It is.
Yeah.
And let's try that with other human beings, too. Let's
Absolutely.
Meet others.
At the edge of my yard, you know what is? My neighbors. I have wonderful neighbors.
See, that's one of the dynamic, wonderful things. Use those edges. Use those edges. Interface. And creatively use and respond to change.
Oh, boy. I suspect we're going to have a lot of change during this next year. So we have to respond and creatively use it. Okay. This is going to be a good start to the year, Lana.
Yeah, let's think about these things. We can do this. We're creative human beings. Another positive things for the new year. You gave me a very unpromising leafless stick in a pot. And this is a
Here,
plant.
Lana, you want to put this in your greenhouse for the winter?
This is a plant. And you gave me this. And that was about 2 months ago. You dug it up out of the garden.
Well, I had to get it up before the frost.
Yeah, it was a lemon verbena. And I've used lemon verbena before. But this was a bush with absolutely no green on it.
It was about 18 inches of sticks.
18 inches of sticks.
Little branches.
And so I am basically a polite person. I said, thank you, Donna. I would like to report that here, as we turn into the new year, the lemon verbena, that stick in that pot, is starting to put out new leaves.
Tiny, tiny little green ones, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be good. So things do come around. There will be more green. There will be more leaves. Your lemon verbena is taken off.
Yeah,
thank you, Donna.
Every year you have to, even when I grew them in California, where it doesn't freeze and you don't have to take them inside, you still have to trim them back severely every fall, and then they kind of start all over again. And Lana, yours, by the time the spring comes and you put it out in the garden, it will be gorgeous. And every time you brush up against it and the smell wafts out of it, you're going to be thrilled.
Ooh.
And you'll think of me.
I will. You'll probably get a cutting from it back. There we go. That's how plants go. That's about. Well, we're thinking about the new year here, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are going to be taking a break as this new year starts. Donna is off to New Zealand, and I'm going to be hibernating for a while. So you still be able to hear the Donna Lana Kitchen. You'll be hearing some golden oldies.
Oh, yes. Donna Lana rerun.
Very good. If you've missed them, listen again. There's great Donna Lana Kitchen past shows from the archives. We'll go out with some music by Elizabeth Zimmerman, a musician here in Central Iowa. Thanks for joining us. Support this radio station. Support your local community. Let's talk to each other more. Let's listen to each other more. And support this radio station by becoming a member. Basic membership start at $55. You can do that. Do the right thing. We are all in this together.
Yes, and done, Alana Kitchen, is wishing you more connectedness to your neighbors and your community during this coming year. We have a treasure amongst all of us.
Let's celebrate this community. Happy and healthy New Year. I'm Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We had excellent engineering and good advice on Brussels sprouts by Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.
Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in. Okay.